on financial management. The catch word, stewardship. And maybe the older you are in the Lord, the more words or the more concepts that are covered by that principle. I've got the four T's. A lot of people have all different types of categories. My four categories are treasures, time, talent, testimony. So we are to be good stewards with those four things. With our theme this year being our treasures, being the true heart indicators of where we are, the true heart locators, I'd like to look at the value of your testimony. How much is it worth? And I'm going to look at two individuals. Turn in your Bible to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. I'm going to look at two of Jacob's sons. We could probably spend the entire year just looking at what people do with their testimonies from the Bible and how God would have us steward our testimonies. Since all four of these principles, treasure, time, talent, and testimonies, are related and intertwined, it might be difficult to dice them and slice them up into separate packages. But it might be helpful. You done? God bless you. It might, Cindy's not here, she'd be doing four. It might be helpful to parcel them out in order to examine them separately before putting them again back into a final package. Genesis 42, this is going to be completely out of context. I'm going to read four verses, pray. We're going to look at the value of your testimony, Reuben and Judah. Genesis 42, verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them portions for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored. And lo, it is even in my sack. Period. No. And their heart failed them. You know what that means? That's a Holy Spirit inspired way of saying they had a massive coronary, so to speak. Their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Let's pray. Lord, perhaps we've been in a situation in our lives, what we might call a financial crisis, where we might have lost a job, we might have lost our house, we might have lost a car, we might have lost our inheritance, we might have lost our retirement, our investments. We might have lost the family jewel. There's a lot of things that mean a lot to a lot of people. And in this particular story, in this particular narrative, we have a dysfunctional family with 12 boys, one dad, four wives, four mothers. It's a mess. It's a complete mess. And I'd like to look at, in light of our theme, where is our heart? According to this passage we just read, their heart failed them. In this sense, they were found out. They were located, not only by God, but by the prime minister of Egypt. And that person at that time was their brother, Joseph. Lord, I pray that you would locate us this evening. Find us with your GPS and reveal to us where we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis 37. We'll give some context. We'll give some history. And bear with me. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Mark that down and keep it in the back of your head. He's 17, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Don't you hate being in the same house with a goody two-shoes? Here's a goody two-shoes. He's tattling, right? He's betraying the boys. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Not a good thing, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, Joseph, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Not only that, they hated their dad. Yes, of course. Because we live under this umbrella of sin, don't ever think, oh, my upbringing was so bad. It's all relative, right? None of us had perfect upbringings. None of us had perfect upbringing except for Adam and Eve. Hello? And that didn't help them, did it? No. So we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems with brothers and sisters. We're going to have problems with moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles. Just mark it down. We live in a world of sin.
Amen.
And we do. So therefore, if you think, and of course, I was one of them, where you think you can blame your parents for the way you turned out, you have a small window. And the window isn't very big. I mean, by the time you're 18, the window ends. And there are people that live their entire life blaming their upbringing. This is as good as it gets when it comes to fault finding. This is a dysfunctional family on display. Like I said, this is the Kardashians of the Old Testament. If you want to see what really is going on behind doors, this is it. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. Not good. And they hated him yet the more. Okay. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. This is three hates. And we haven't even gotten into the story yet. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. The 11 stars refer to the 11 boys. Now he's talking about the sun and the moon and the stars. I mean, this guy's really out there. And he told it to his father. Didn't just keep it to himself and his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brothers envied him. So not only did they hate him, they envied him. Now, please remember, they crucified Jesus for envy. So they envied him, but he said, but his father observed the same. So somewhere dad put this in the back of his head thinking, you know, I need to remember this. And if you've got a good hard drive, it might be a person. Cindy's my hard drive. So whenever I need to remember something, I tell Cindy. I said, would you remember this for me? Because at some point I need to download this and I need to retrieve this. And in my mind, my search engine doesn't work real good. You know what I mean? So, his brethren ran to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not, well, why is Joseph home? He's the favorite. So the boys are out working. Joseph said, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. So he's available. Joseph is ready to do his father's bidding. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with their flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, Joseph, wandering around. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man said unto him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I don't have a GPS. I have no idea where I am. I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went unto his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Not only did they hate him, not only did they envy him, but they had murder in their heart. The true heart locator, yes? They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what become of his dream. And Reuben heard it. Now, if you know your genealogies in the life of Jacob, Reuben's number one. He's the firstborn. He doesn't act like it, but he is. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Okay, so the title of my message is The Value of Your Testimony, Reuben and Judah. So here is our first, you know, this is not the first time we've heard of Reuben, but in context of Joseph, this is important. So Reuben says, we're not going to kill him. He delivers him out of their hands. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to their father again. So he had a plan. His plan was throw him in the pit, and Reuben would rescue him at some particular time. We don't know the time frame. We don't know what the plans were. But Reuben's mind was, I'm going to appease them now and save my brother soon. Again, we don't know what the time frame is. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. That's good, because obviously if there was, he drowned. And they sat down to eat bread. So Joseph's in a pit. And what are they doing? Having lunch. They had food catered. And they called out for a food truck. And they're sitting down, you know, having a time. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down Egypt. And Judah said, okay, so we have two brothers. We have the entire crew. We have all 11 in one place. Reuben's got a plan. I'm going to appease the brothers. We're going to throw them in a pit, and I'll save them later. Judah says to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? The word profit is very important here. We will see that money's involved. So in Judah's mind, there's got to be something more than just revenge. Judah wants more than that. He wants money. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now, whose idea was that? Judah. Judah's idea. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. In Matthew 26, they sold Jesus to Judas. So there's some comparisons here. So Reuben has a plan. Judah has a plan. It looks like right now Judah's plan worked. It says verse 29, and Reuben returned unto the pit. Now, we don't know where Reuben was. I mean, where was he when Joseph was sold? Well, plan number one didn't work out. So Reuben's plan, Judah's plan seemed to be the best alternative. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit and he rent his clothes. So Reuben was upset. Reuben at some point had some family loyalty. He had some kind of compassion for the boy that was spoiled rotten, the brother, right? So Reuben at this point is okay. Judah's not okay. Reuben rents his clothes. Judah's getting counting his money. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Meaning, what are we going to do now? Where's Joseph? And they took Joseph's coat, they. I don't know who came up with this idea, it doesn't say. And killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father. And said, this have we found. Lie. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. I don't know about you, but this has to be one of the most dastardly, deceptive. This is terrible. This is revenge against Jacob. Now. So we've got revenge against our brother. Now we got revenge against our father. This is like double blessing. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. Now the daughters had every right to, but the sons were a bunch of hypocrites. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, will I go down into the grave unto my son mourning? Thus his father wept for him. All right, so that's the history. So we've got Judah and Reuben scheming. Now, Genesis 41, not very far away, Genesis 41, Joseph was 17 when they threw him in the pit, when the caravan came. He was taken to Egypt, you know that. He was sold as a slave. He was in Potiphar's house and that whole thing. In Genesis 41, in verse 46, 41, 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So there's a lot that happens in the 13 years of what I call cover-up. So for 13 years, Joseph is gone, out of sight, out of mind. Joseph is in Egypt. Who knows what's going on with Egypt? But God does, and the Holy Spirit does. So he preserves for us a perfect type of Christ, Joseph being a type of the Lord. So Joseph, as you know, is down in Potiphar's house. And for 11 years, Joseph is a servant to Potiphar. Now, Potiphar is an officer of the guard. If you do your due diligence and study, it was actually Potiphar who ran the prison that Joseph was thrown into. That's why Joseph wasn't slaughtered and killed and beheaded immediately when his wife lied about him and said, oh, your slave is stalking me. Wrong. My wife's trying to seduce my slave. That's the real story. So Joseph, for 11 years, was faithful, did what he had to do, and in 2 years, he was in prison. You know, he meets the butler and the baker. It sounds like a Who Killed Who board game. And Joseph interprets their dreams. They go back into Pharaoh's cabinet. One dies, the other doesn't. But Joseph interprets their dream, and everything comes out perfect. Pharaoh has a dream, and nobody can interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And the butler says, hey, wait a minute. I know a guy who interprets dreams. He's down here in the... No, he's in prison. He's a Hebrew. Well, bring him up here. Joseph interprets a dream, and here, Pharaoh makes him prime minister of Egypt, and he's 30 years of age. 13-year cover-up. What's going on in the minds and the hearts of Joseph's brothers for 13 years? They're perpetuating a lie. In all due respect, please understand, I am one of you. I grew up in the church. And in a sense, spiritually, I grew up sitting in the pew. So I know what it's like. I know the temptation that the devil uses to deceive us for years and years and years. Out of sight, out of mind, but not out of your heart. God knows where we are. 13 years, the boys were perpetuating deception. Your sin will find you out. That's the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. So, let's look further. Genesis 42, not very far from where you are. Genesis 42, verse number 3. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. I'm going to call this poverty of food. There was poverty, also called it was a famine. And Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So they weren't the only family or group of people that were going to Egypt in order to buy provision. There was poverty of food everywhere. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now, I know you know all this stuff. And you've read all this stuff as well as I have. All the years that you've read it as long as I have. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them. But he made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And of course, by this time, he knows Egyptian, so he's not going to speak Hebrew to them. But they don't know he's fluent in Hebrew. They don't know he's his brother. This is the perfect script. Perfect. Whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. They knew not him. Sorry. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. Remember those dreams? They're bowing before him. So the dreams are coming true. 13 years later, Joseph's thinking, Shazam, look at that. God is true to his word. They're bowing before me because they need corn. Whoa, look at that. Shazam. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. Oh my. Oh my, if they only had a lasso and a rope to pull that back in. What did they say about themselves? For 13 years, they've been deceiving their father, their family, the girls, the parents. Now they're in front of the prime minister of Egypt lying. We're true men. Okay. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. Period. Nope, they lie again. And one is not. Meaning, true meaning, they have no idea where he is. But they're in the land where Joseph was sent to. So they have no idea where Joseph is. Right? They have no clue what happened to Joseph. So this is the bottom line. This is what they say. This is the party platform. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I speak unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. Now, Joseph is going to prove them. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Aha. So he's going to test them by calling for Benjamin. Now, The reason why they're going to call for Benjamin is simple. Jacob loves Benjamin as Joseph's replacement. If Jacob loved Joseph that much, how much more would he love the lastborn, Benjamin, from the wife that he loved the most? So Joseph is going to test to see how loyal they are to the younger boy because they threw him in the pit and sold him into slavery. I wonder what their heart has done in the last 13 years regarding Benjamin. So this is a heart test that Joseph is, and you might think Joseph is cruel, badgering his brothers the way he does, and you know the story, all the different things he does to, but I think it's awesome. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison. Wait a minute. One goes and the rest of us stay in prison? What did he just say? That your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. Now they said they were true men, right? So Joseph is going to test them. I'm going to send one. The rest of you stay. I'm going to prove whether you are true men or not in front of Pharaoh. Verse 17. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. So for 3 days, they're in prison in Egypt. What do you think is going on in their mind? Everything. Everything possible is going on in their mind. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. Now, I don't know about you, but for an Egyptian prime minister to say that is completely out of context. Yes? Completely out of context. If ye be true men, then let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. So he completely changes what he was going to do. I'll keep one. I'll send the rest of you back. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Chapter 42, verse 21. I'm going to call this unresolved guilt. Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are truly, verily guilty concerning our brother. Now, what brother are they talking about? In that which we saw the anguish of his soul, when he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. This is in reference to Joseph being in the pit, Joseph pleading for his life, Joseph pleading to his brothers and saying, hey, what have I done? This is 13 plus years later. They're having a revelation conference where they're revealing to each other, maybe for the first, at least the first time in print, hey, you're the one who said this. Well, I wanted to save the boy, but you sold him into that, and you got the money, Judah. And what about you, Reuben? And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. So we have Reuben, who tried to save the boy, Judah, who all wanted was the money, and now the boys are arguing because they're guilty. Right? Your sin will find you out. They're guilty. Their testimony is being tested by a strange prime minister in Egypt. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. They're talking in Hebrew. And Joseph grew up with Hebrew. He's their brother. He understood them. Don't you hate people that do that? I mean, you could speak Spanish in the Spanish class all you want, and I'm not going to understand what you're saying until my name comes up. And when my name comes up, then I get really, really nervous. I get a little insecure. You know, I'm sort of thinking, okay, what are they saying about me? Right? for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them who? Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. So Joseph decides, I'm going to keep one. I'm going to keep Simeon, not Judah, not Reuben. I'm going to take Simeon. And he heard this confession. That's the first time Joseph maybe heard what was on their heart this whole time. Verse 29, I'm going to call this section personal deception. Verse 29. Now, please remember, we began the message in verse 25 through 28. Right? Well, let me just read that because let's just reinforce that. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. As one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his mouth's sack. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored. And lo, my money is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Now the question is, why did they go further? Why didn't they return? Why didn't they go back? Why didn't they, if their heart failed them, why didn't they go back to the prime minister of Egypt and said, there must be a mistake. We paid you for this corn. Look at our sacks. There's money in our sacks. So here we have, again, what is the value of your testimony? So this is a hit and run accident, right? They're going to be involved in a head-on collision, and they're going to leave the site of the accident. What is that going to automatically make them? Guilty. Guilty. They're leaving. How do you know? Verse 29 says so. And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan. So that's why this is the personal deception section. And told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, what did they say to their pop? We're true men. You lying snakes. You should be beaten with a baseball bat. We're true men. Oh, really? Really? Don't you want to just strangle them? And they're saying this to their dad. We're no spies. Well, that might be true. They're not spies, but they're lying, thieving snakes. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is... They do it again. They lie again. These are called pathological liars. We had one in the White House years ago, a pathological liar. Well, you do not know, they don't know what is truth and what isn't truth. And there are some people that live in that world. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. So they recognize Benjamin. Joseph, they pass away. They just ignore. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are, what kind of men? True men. Leave one of your brethren here with me and take food for the famine of your households and be gone. Now, and bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know, what? That ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. Now, Joseph set this all up. He tested them with the money in the sacks. What did they pass that test or fail it? They failed it. They left the head-on collision. They went home to a
to go to Papa and say, look, the man treated us bad. Talked to us roughly. Said that we were spies.
Really? Spies? Reuben comes to the rescue. Verse 35. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that, behold, you got to be kidding me. Every man's bundle of money was in his sack. Now, why didn't they do this? When they first noticed one of them had money in the sack, I don't know. They were delirious. They were living in their own delusions. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, you talk about a Holy Spirit undersell. They were afraid. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only was one guy guilty, they were all guilty now. And they all left. They're all back in Canaan. How are they going to explain this to the Lord of the land? And Jacob, their father, said unto them, this is so classical Jacob. This is the lost side of Jacob. Me, myself, and I. Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. Simeon's in prison. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Right? Where's dad here? Where's the father? This is some issues that we all struggle with. Chapter 43. We'll start in verse 15. And the men took that present. Jacob said, they convinced Jacob, unless Benjamin goes with us, we can't go back to Egypt. A whole year passes. Now, again, you got to study to figure out what year of the famine they're in. But this is year number two. So a whole year passes. Simeon's in prison for how long? A whole year. Out of sight, out of mind. Where's Joseph? Who knows? Who cares? And the men took that present that their father gave them. And they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. I'm going to call this accusational fear. Accusational fear. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, all we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. Again, this is a year later. They're guilty because they didn't fess up when they should have. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks. Wait a minute. We opened our sacks. And behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. No, that's not what happened. Only one guy opened his sack. All of them went back to Canaan. And then they all opened up their sack. Right? Okay, so this is another lie. Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. Who are they accusing? Somebody. It wasn't their fault. They didn't do it. We're true men. Right? I mean, we're honest.
We're true men.
And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Notice what this Egyptian servant said. Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. I don't know about you, but that's an awful strange conversation. Don't you think? That's kind of a strange situation. And now Joseph comes in and sees Benjamin, tries not to show his emotion, asks about Benjamin's father, of course. It's not the prime minister's father. Chapter 44. Joseph tells the steward, the servant, this is what I want you to do. This is test number two. I want you to throw the money back in the sacks. But my personalized drinking cup, I want you to put in the sack of the youngest. Hide it. This is a trap. He's planting the goods on the brothers to see how they're going to react and how they're going to respond. Verse 6. And he overtook them, the steward, the servant. And he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks and mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? The only reason why they brought the money back was they were hungry. They had no problem keeping that money for a whole year, just to remind you. With whomsoever thy servants it be found, let him die. And we also would be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest, Reuben, and left at the youngest, Benjamin. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. Okay, they told Jacob. Reuben told Jacob, if I don't bring back your son, lay that on me for the rest of my life. Slay my boys. So Reuben steps up and says, oh, I've got this. Now Benjamin is set up, and Judah and his brethren, wait a minute, Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. Now why is Judah first in this conversation? For he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, so Judah is now leading this caravan back. Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I, certainly divine? Essentially, you've taken my divination cup. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. What goes around comes around. Your sin will find you out. Behold, we are my Lord's servants. Wait a minute. Judah, who are you talking for? Are you talking for all of us? He is. We're all your servants. And he also with whom the cup is found. Meaning, this is what we bound ourselves to. And now we're caught stealing the cup. It's in Benjamin's sack. We're in a foreign land in front of the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world. We're toast. We're done. We're killed. The best we can do is be slaves for the rest of our lives. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Then Judah came near unto him and said, so Judah is now going to commit. And said, O my Lord, Let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead. Wrong answer. It's still wrong. When will they get this right? Pause. How long have you lived in deception? How long has the devil allowed us that our heart can deceive us in whatever area? Finances? Purity? Overeating? Oversleeping? Overcomfort? Over hot showers? I don't know what it's over, what addiction that we have, but the devil makes it real easy for us to live in that state of mind as long as we want to. And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. And thou hast said unto thy servants, Except your younger brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since. Okay, so what's the true story? This is what Jacob thought. The brothers had their own alibi. This is what was in Jacob's heart for all of these years. This is now 15 years of his son being dead in Jacob's mind. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, Benjamin, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Who is Judah talking to? Joseph. He's talking to Joseph through an interpreter, of course. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father. That means Judah said to his father, Let my life be for the life of Benjamin. So now Judas steps up and says, This is what I'm willing to do. This is my testimony. If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear their blame to my father. For how long? Forever. Now therefore, Prime Minister, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. What did he just say? Let me take the rap. I'll stay. Send the youngest boy back. Did he pass the test? He did. Is he still lying about his brother? Yes. But what about the youngest brother? Does he have a change of heart now? Is it obvious to see that his testimony toward his younger brother is not what his testimony was toward the older brother? Yes, that's changed. That's changed. Verse 34. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my Father. I know I've gone a little bit longer than I was hoping to. Probably read more passages of Scripture than we needed to. But the point is, for Reuben and Judah, what was the value of their testimony? It seems like at the beginning they sold it for a number of different reasons. They were willing to compromise in a number of areas. And the thing that really got my attention as I was reading through this, again, I did not remember that Judah was the one who initiated, let's sell him for money. And as I'm reading through this narrative, money seems to be all around this story. Not only is there grain and food because there's a famine, but there's money issues going on here. There's a goblet, the prime minister's divination goblet. Of course, Joseph didn't use it to divine with. But the servants thought, where does this guy get all this wisdom from? He must be from the gods. And he gets it from this stupid cup. Joseph wasn't going to tell him any different, right? He gets his wisdom from God. They think he gets it from a cup. Question is, what is your reputation worth? What is your testimony worth? Are you willing to perpetuate a lie, even though you know it's a lie? When does a lie stop? How long do you live with it, knowing that you know what nobody else knows, and you're not in freedom, you're in bondage. You're in bondage because you're hiding, because you're not a true man. You're not a true woman. Let's pray. Lord, we talk about time, talent, treasures, and testimony. What we normally mean by testimony is telling people about our changed life, our born again story is our testimony. But our testimony is also our reputation, our integrity, what people think of us, what people say about us, what our family knows us to be. Truly, this is a sad story. But Lord, this is the lineage of the Messiah comes through this mess. What a mess. And you are orchestrating in a unique way to bring Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's family to a place in the world where this group of people culturally cannot stand Hebrews. They will not intermarry with them. They will not eat with them. They will not associate with them. So God needed a place where the nation of Israel would be separate, safe, and that they could multiply like bunny rabbits. And Lord, this is your preparation for that. And yet, Jacob's family's not ready for this. But you're preparing them. You're having what we call an intervention. And you're using the hated son, who's been out of sight, out of mind for 15 years, as the lightning rod for this amazing truth test. And Lord, all we have to do is read a few more verses. And we read, I am Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This is the ultimate family forgiveness chapter. But before that could take place, these true men had to be broken. They had to be exposed in order for God's healing to take place. in the privacy of your heart. What is the devil deceiving you about? What area of your life are you not paying attention to? The Bible says, your sin will find you out. Lord, thank you for the story. Thank you for the truth and the principles that are found here. Help us to apply them to our hearts, we pray, so they not faint, but that they be full of faith in thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.